my shepherd, I lack nothing. In grassy meadows, he lets me lie. By tranquil streams, he leads me to restore my spirit. He guides me in paths of saving justice, as befits his name. Even were I to walk in a ravine as dark as death, I should fear no danger, for you are at my side. Your staff and your crook are there to soothe me. You prepare a table for me under the eyes of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup brims over. Kindness and faithful love pursue me every day of my life. I make my home in the house of Yahweh for all time to come.
And now the 23rd Psalm, taken from the King James Version. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Then thou anointed my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
From the original people, the Native Americans. The Divine Shepherd, sacred celestial creation, you provide for all life, the people, and the web of life. By your graceful presence, gratitude brings all abundance. There is no want. Celestial creation, thank you for leading me to green, abundantly beautiful, sacred earthy grounds, living in balance within nature's changing seasons, beside plant medicines, clear blue waters, and among grandfather rocks. Sacred Creator restores my soul and leads me along my most holy path. By asking daily, you guide me as I follow spiritual footsteps through time. In this way, the gone befores and ancestors learn to live in balance. For your guidance brings to me my best path through life. Even as I travel through the darkest challenges, I fear not. Sacred Creator is within me and walks with me, making all crooked paths straight. My compassion and mercy gives me clear vision to see the knowing, balanced, peaceful way, always. Thank you, Sacred Creator. By sharing first for others who need more, my own needs are met and exceeded by your generosity of your presence, even in the company of my enemies. Peacekeeper, medicine people, and leaders seek always to smoke the powagan with enemies in the sacred medicine circle, to understand what is within each heart, to agree what is best for all parties. Native peoples keep their word. Life ways which share abundance allow all to live in peace. Goodness and mercy are invited daily into my life, and I live in balance. Earth Mother provides for me, and I am grateful for this abundance. My heavenly home is within Mother Nature's holy woods and waters. This is my church. Thank you, Mother Nature, for gifting all people a home. Throughout all the days and nights of my life, may this balance be blessed by sacred creation. Thank you.
The Internal shepherds me. I lack for nothing. He makes lie in meadows green. He leads me to refreshing streams. He revives life in me. He guides me by true paths, as he himself is true. My road may run through a glen of gloom, but I fear no harm, for thou art beside me. Thy club, thy staff, they give me courage. Thou art my host, spreading a feast for me, while my foes have to look on. Thou hast passed oil on my head, my cup is brimming over. Yes, and all through life, goodness and kindness wait on me, the internal guest, within his household evermore.
Thank you to those many voices. Would you pray with me, please? Gracious and loving God, make your presence known to us here today. Proclaim your gospel message of comfort and hope for all peoples. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In an age of rising biblical illiteracy and falling church attendance, the 23rd Psalm remains a beloved cultural icon, a touchstone. Many of us know the King James Version by heart. Like the Lord's Prayer, so many times have we heard it that has been internalized at our very cores. In gentle cadences and soothing images, its gentle cadences and soothing images are there for us to draw upon in times of challenge, to wash over us like a divine lullaby, enveloping us in the familiar softness of a well-loved baby blanket. It's no wonder that the psalm makes frequent appearances at funeral services and the beds of the very ill. I have also witnessed its power amongst persons with dementia or Alzheimer's. When so much else is gone, many can still recite the psalm on cue. Not only does it calm and comfort them, but it remembers them, reminding them who and whose they are, triggering the oldest of cherished memories of relationships with parents, spouses, and Jesus. Yes, the concrete memories are fleeting, yet the feelings of love and identity linger long after the source has receded beyond recall. This sacred text is powerful, priceless, sacred medicine. Even at the height of our loneliness and the depths of our despair, it tells us we are not alone. We are never truly alone, but guided, known, and loved. God lives in us is written into our very DNA. In hearing the psalm in so many voices, translations, and settings today, I hope that you are able to immerse and capture some of that message and experience for yourselves. By the same token, I hope that you heard something new. As beloved as the King James Version is, I know that, for me at least, it's easy to stop truly listening and just to soak it in at a completely visceral level, like the sun's rays or a relaxing massage, or to touch and taste it like a beautiful piece of ripe, juicy fruit. That's not to say that there's anything wrong with that. Chants, mantras, and even communion function similarly, inviting us to experience the reality of the divine's intimate presence in and around our physical bodies. This is one experiential way we might use the Psalms as part of our personal spiritual practices. But it needn't stop there. As I pondered the text this week, I realized I had never even met a shepherd until I came to Michigan. And my interactions with sheep have been pretty much limited to petting zoos. Most of what I know about shepherds and sheep have been shaped by the 23rd Psalm, the images of Jesus as the Good Shepherd, and the sheep parables in the Gospels. They are not based on my lived experiences. Now I realize that living in farm country, as we do here, I may be a bit of an anomaly in this congregation. And yet, I dare say that the influence of sheep and shepherds here in Western Michigan still doesn't approach that of the ancient Near East and Hellenistic cultures. Their sheep were a primary source of food, clothing, and religious sacrifices. They represented the very substance of cultural and spiritual practice. No part of the sheep's body was wasted, and no part of life untouched by its life and death. How crucial, then, the humble shepherd's role in guiding, protecting, nurturing, and valuing every last one of those precious creatures throughout the wilderness that was their lives. How powerful and resonant a metaphor for the people who lived in the psalmist's world. If we were to move forward, move the psalm into our own contemporary context, I wonder what images we might choose to capture the life-giving heart of our physical and spiritual existences. The Bible provides us with many names and images for God. But what would we choose for this very day? For some, parenthood, grandparenthood, or foster parenthood are apt, resonant metaphors. But not everyone has been blessed with a loving home. For some, casting God in familial terms actually does harm and is far from life-giving. By comparison, relationships with animals can be far less complicated, maintaining a certain purity of mutual love and care. Perhaps this, in part, explains the broad appeal of the 23rd Psalm. Beyond this, I personally am at a bit of a loss for the moment. What strikes me as central to our culture these days is hardwired to a virtual world. Laptops, iPhones, iPods, the internet, Facebook, etc. Technology just doesn't stand in as easily for a good shepherd. And yet it does point to a longing for connection and relationship, however removed and artificial the manifestation. In the spirits of Emmanuel, a still speaking, still acting God with us, and a co-creating body of Christ, I would encourage each of us to spend some time carefully considering the words and images we would choose if we were to make the 23rd Psalm our own. As we have witnessed in the various translations today, the Bible is indeed a dynamic document. It begs us to bring our own words, our own lives, our own experiences to it. Otherwise, it would be little more than a historical document or an archaeological artifact. Similarly, naming God for ourselves is a highly intimate gesture of love and relationship. Do we bother to assign affectionate nicknames to anyone but those we love most, our inner circle of relationship? But I don't want to assume anything. I don't want to assume that everyone loves or is comforted by the 23rd Psalm. It is frequently referenced in pop culture, in movies ranging from Pale Rider to Full Metal Jacket to Titanic, and in songs like U2's Rescue Me, Pink Floyd's Sheep, and Megadeth's Shadow of Death. Not all of the references are either complimentary or confident expressions of faith. In fact, some angrily argue with the psalm, seeking to discredit their understanding of the theology it espouses. Certainly for those living in the middle of ghetto violence, hopelessness, and racism, The psalm's promises may ring false, even hollow. Yet one needn't live in a ghetto for the psalm's words to fall flat or to spark anger. How many of us have felt abandoned by God in the midst of illness, grief, family, or other strife? In those painful moments, the 23rd Psalm can annoy like an overly flowery Hallmark card, or sting like salt in an open wound. While it does allude to dark valleys, it does not linger there, but moves quickly to a trust we may not yet be ready to embrace. This is in part because the 23rd Psalm is a hybrid psalm. It's not quite a hymn, not quite a psalm of thanksgiving, not quite a psalm of lament. It's very much like the tail end of a psalm of lament. The part that typically comes after the psalmist has raged and cried out to God from places of utter fear and anguish before finding relief and then gratitude. Maybe this lack of lament is a weakness of the psalm. Perhaps it is also an opportunity to fill in the blanks with our own stories, to articulate our very own angry Valentine to God. And this, too, we have permission to do. Although it's tended to be downplayed in Christian practice, we have inherited a rich tradition of dialogue and even protest from our Jewish forebears. Prophets and Psalms of the Hebrew Bible routinely argued with and even cursed God for their situations. Talmudic scholars have long conversed with God in various tones through their annotation of the scriptures. The Holocaust gave way to many a heated exchange, inaugurating a full-fledged theology of protest. While this may strike some of us as inappropriate or downright disrespectful, it too is an act of trust and intimacy. I dare say we don't get any more angry or irritated with anyone than our closest of kin. And that bottling up these emotions typically doesn't make for healthy relationships. No, God seeks to be in full and authentic relationship with us. Otherwise, in our praise and our song, we are sending God a saccharine greeting card filled with beautiful but essentially empty words and phrases. Let us bring our whole selves to God that we in turn may find wholeness. Let us speak the truth in love to God and then await God's response in our prayers and our mantras. And finally, the words and names for God that come to us as our laments begin to turn. Let us trust that gratitude lies right around the corner, and that like the Good Shepherd, God's love is pursuing us throughout any dark valley or ravine or glen of gloom that life presents. May it be so.